Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Go Bhaktavarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When the desires of the soul are neglected, these desires don't simply disappear. It's just like when the soul is neglected in our lives. It just doesn't go away. It stays and appears disguised in the form of many material desires, some of them obsessions, habits, addictions, an emptiness. But for devotees of Krishna, when they neglect the desires of the soul, there comes after some time a feeling of a yearning for a more fulfilled life, a deep longing. Now our temptation in the modern times is to isolate these symptoms of neglected soul and neglected soul desires. No? We try to isolate these problems and deal with them separately and try to eradicate them separately. We try to deal with our obsessions separately, with our addictions, with our material desires separately. But the problem is, if you don't take care of the root problem, the neglected soul and the neglected spiritual desires, the feeling of emptiness doesn't leave you. In this modern age, we have only a few spiritual scientists or specialists who knew how to address the desires of the soul. And in my little presentation on developing divine aspirations, I draw heavily on the points and on the inspirations which they have given. Especially I'm drawing on the medieval poet Srila Rupa Goswami. It is interesting, I was saying how we try to isolate the problems from their root problems and we apply some therapy. Did you know that Socrates, the thinker Socrates, defined therapy as service to the gods? Yes, he knew that this problems which we see arise from the neglect of the soul, and he understood that these problems can only be solved by coming back to the soul and its original desire or constitutional position, which is service to the Lord of Vrindavan. So in our little seminar, my first session was meant to bring out to you that these covered desires, which are sometimes covered by heaps of stones and garbage and rubbish, they can be excavated, they can be brought to light in the association of saintly people. Because when we align, or when we stand side to side by a saint and listen to what they have to say, we do understand a little bit more about the spiritual perspective which they are so expert in living. And when we listen to their realized words, something can happen to our heart. The heart is at the moment frozen, but by the association of saintly people, the heart can melt. And when we hear their prayers, the melted condition of our heart, the melted lack of our heart, can come into the form, the shape, and the expression of the saintly people. I did this yesterday night. I felt sleepless around. I was waking up at, I was awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I just decided to read about Srila Prabhupada and his statements, what he had said. And I could really feel how I had this association with Prabhupada. I stood, so to say, by his side. I read about him. I read what he had said. And slowly I could see how my heart, which is of course willing, I mean, I'm trying to practice Krishna consciousness like all of you, which is willing to, which is open to spiritual influences. I could see how it took the shape of Prabhupada's thinking. And very soon I was very satisfied, really. I felt humility in my heart, like a genuine. I felt his qualities coming to me. This is also what the great yogi master Patanjali explains, that by being in contact with the saints and meditating about their qualities, our heart takes on their qualities. There was once a great lecturer. His name was Madhusudana Saraswati. He was he had become very old, and he was extremely learned. He was one of the great people of his time. He had taken to the impersonalist philosophy of Shankara, and he had dared to give his lectures in Vrindavan. He said, let me go to Vrindavan, I've heard so much about it. And he delivered his lectures every afternoon at the banks of the Yamuna. So during his lecturing, he always noticed that a disheveled person with long matted hair came and sat at the end of, you know, in the back of the audience, and he talked. He talked so loud, he actually seemed to be coming to disturb the lecture. This is all nonsense, he said. This scholar has no idea what he's talking about. So after watching this man for about a week or so, Madhusudan Saraswati, after he had given his lectures, went straight to him and said, why are you coming to disturb? Can you not see that all these people have come to listen to wisdom, the wisdom of the Upanishads? Why do you come to disturb? You, if you want to disturb, go somewhere else. You don't have to come here. So this sadhu looked at him and said, you are saying that the absolute truth is beyond the thoughts, is beyond the power of words to describe him. Yet you talk so much. Then he went up and he ran, and as Madhusudana Saraswati pursued him, he ran after him. The sadhu turned around, flipped around, started to dance, and then disappear. And in his stead, he saw Krishna standing there with his smile, with his very happy expression, with his red lotus lips, and attracting the heart of Madhusudan Saraswati. Madhusudan Saraswati never could forget this, and he wrote a very famous verse about Krishna, where he said, "I do not know any higher truth than Krishna, who has made me turn my back to the path of impersonalism here in the land of Vrindavan." It's a beautiful composition he wrote, and he described Krishna in a few in wonderful terms and words. The sadhus, that's my point, the devotees of Krishna, have been invested with a certain shakti, a certain power by the Lord himself, and that is to manifest Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this in the beginning of the Madhurya Kadambini, where he asked the question, where is bhakti, or where can you get, yes, bhakti, from where can you get it? Is it given by Krishna? Is it? And he comes to the conclusion that no, it is given by devotees. One of my godbrothers asked Prabhupada a question. He said, does the soul ever become weak or strong on account of its association and contact with material nature? That's a good question. Not do we become weakened by our association with the material nature, and therefore our spiritual desires go away? And Prabhupada answers this question. He says, it's not that the spirit soul becomes weak or strong, but it is his determination to become Krishna consciousness that becomes weak or strong. And then he says, by when we have contact with the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance, our determination becomes weak. You know, when you engage so much in passionate activities or in ignorant activities, then and have so much material associations, see material movies, read material books, your determination to become Krishna consciousness becomes weak. And he says, by the influence of the mode of goodness, it becomes strong, this determination. But then he says, by the association with a pure devotee, the soul's determination becomes strongest, most strong. So in the first session, I wanted to say that have association with pure souls. Like in this work, which we are studying, we have association with the writings of Rupa Goswami, and I put in a lot of Prabhupada's teachings which support it. Good. Today, we will go a step higher. My dear devotees, if you want to develop your spiritual aspirations, if you want to do the spiritual ecology that brings you right in contact with the self and its desires, there are a few gatekeepers that can help you. A gatekeeper is someone who has the power to either let you pass and move into a new space. Or he can also say, you should not come. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that the spiritual world is guarded by spears, so that the person who wants to intrude the spiritual world, the yogi who comes by his own strength, chong, is getting stuck by these spears. These spears are described to be materialistic desires, material argumentation, like it is done so much in this world. There's an argument about everything. Sometimes it comes even into the movement for Krishna consciousness. So that is one of the obstacles. But I'm speaking here about gatekeepers. And Rupa Goswami names them, a few of them. It says in the beginning, the dust of Vrindavan is a gatekeeper. He says, O Vrindavan Dham, what persons absorbed in your service did not quickly attain the path of supreme bliss? Thus, with humility, I request that you personally show me the best way to see your two rulers in my heart. Please be merciful to me. Some devotees always keep a little dust of Vrindavan in their homes in the West, because they do know that the land of Vrindavan has this particular potency to help us see the divine couple Radha and Krishna. Therefore, since time immemorial, people have gone on pilgrimage to Vrindavan Dham. Prabhupada said, this dust can give you everything. The dust of Hyderabad, however — Hyderabad is a town in central India — can give you nothing. It only makes you dirty. But the land of Vrindavan is full of consciousness. So in verse 3, Rupa Goswami mentions another gatekeeper who can let us pass and move on. And this is, I think, very, very relevant for all of us in Krishna consciousness. It's the Tulsi, or Brinda Devi. He says, O Brinda Devi, Krishna Murari plays always with his beloved and her friends in your forest. The Shruti scriptures proclaim this. Discerning this, I offer respects to your feet. Be merciful to me. May the tree of my thirst bear fruit. Believe it or not, my dear devotees, Vrinda Devi is a divine personality that is capable, she's a goddess that is capable to help you connect with your spiritual desires and to fulfill your spiritual master. The spiritual desires. He says in Sanskrit, Tavaranya Devi, in your forest, O Devi, O Vrinda Devi, Krishna always plays. It is said, Devi means she who can give boons or blessings. A divine goddess is someone who can give you a blessing. Her name, Devi, means full of splendor, full of shining, And Devi is someone who can help you to shine also. It makes you shine. In other words, she enlightens you in Krishna consciousness. So Vrinda Devi is capable of making your spiritual desires shine forward. Mm. There is a work of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It is a Sri Sankalpa Kalpadruma, where he says, "What am I? Well, my heart is pierced by hundreds of offenses, but I want to achieve a very rare goal. Most merciful to Lassi, you do not put any conditions to anyone. You are the shelter of a person who has, of persons who have no other shelter. Therefore, do not give me up and do not think of my innumerable mistakes, my faults." This is how you approach a goddess. You approach a goddess on your knees, begging, "My dear Vrinda Devi, you may know that we sing the Tulasi Aratik every morning in the temples. Prabhupada has given us this beautiful song because this song is a prayer to this divine goddess who can help you to go and enter Vrindavan Dham. I remember this. I was many years ago, maybe 20 years or even more, I wanted to go to Vrindavan, but I really had no financial means to do so. So what I did is I simply went to one temple and I prayed there to Vrinda Devi, "Please, Vrinda Devi, my desire is to go to Vrindavan. Please help me to get there." And I can't describe to you as if Vrinda Devi wanted to show me I'm there. I'm a divine goddess. I'm there for you. And the next day, all the financial problems were solved. After a week, I had the visa. And then I waited for the proper time and was and went into the airplane and came to Vrindavan Dham. We are used in this world to not think of divine goddesses so much. But if you go into the old times, the times when the spiritual reality was still not separated and isolated from this world and the thinking of people, people would always go and ask for support. And especially spiritual people will always go to Vrinda Devi. There's a prayer which I want to read to you. Bhaktya vihina aparada lakshai kshiptascha kamari taranga madhye kripa maitvang sharanang papanna brinde numaste charanaravindam. I'm devoid of bhakti. There's no bhakti here. I'm guilty of unlimited offenses. I'm thrown about by the waves of lust and anger and greed and so on. O merciful one, I'm taking shelter of you now. O Vrinda Devi, I'm offering my pranam at your lotus feet. So our Rupa Goswami says, O Vrinda Devi, Tulasi Devi, Murari, Krishna Murari always plays with his beloved Shrimati Radharani and her friends in your forest. Please make the tree of my desire be a fruit. You can have many desires, but if they are not ripening, if there's no fruit, then your tree of desire remains empty, barren, and so on. There's a very nice description in the Govinda Lilamrita in the 12th chapter about how Vrinda Devi serves Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. It is described how this divine goddess comes to Radha and Krishna and says, please, my divine Shrimati Radharani, please, Krishna, come with me. I want to show you what I have arranged for your pleasure. And then she takes Radha and Krishna on a tour through the forest of Vrindavan. And at one stage, all of a sudden, they go, Radha and Krishna go, and then beautiful pinkish flowers fall from a tree. The tree serves the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, makes a beautiful flower carpet. And then Vrinda Devi says to the tree, now sing. And all of a sudden, the divine couple hears an orchestra of from the birds that are staying in the trees. Now you should dance. So at that moment, the tree, who is a conscious being, opens its arms and dances like this and gives pleasure to the divine couple. Wouldn't you like to see a dancing tree sometimes? I think it is something wonderful. So this explanation is there. It's a long explanation. Rupa Goswami prays to Vrinda Devi, please, my dear Shrimati Vrinda Devi, I'm suffering at the moment from the pangs of separation from Radha and Krishna. I'm devoid of the darshan of Radha and Krishna. Only one who has really awakened such loving desires for Radha and Krishna can understand the intensity and the sweetness of such desires. But one thing is sure. When Radha and Krishna see that someone's desires are awakened, they reciprocate. They come to the help. The Lord feels attracted when we pray to Him, almost like iron fillings. You know that when you take iron and you take a file and you rasp the iron, then you have these small little pieces. They become very much attracted to the magnet. So Krishna is known to become attracted to a devotee who, by Vrinda Devi's mercy, develops these sacred desires. He manifests his stunning beauty to such a devotee, and he manifests also his divine fragrance, so that the devotee is able to smell the beauty of Krishna, smell the beautiful fragrance of Krishna, and he manifests his melodious voice, where Krishna says, "My dear devotee, I have seen that for so many years you have tried to come to me." And then he touches, Krishna touches his devotee with his gentle touch, and he gives him some prasad to eat so that the devotee can also taste the Lord in some ways. We find a very good example of this someone who is blessed, so to say, to cross the threshold and meet Krishna, who is waiting on the other side of the river of death, if you so want. We find a beautiful example in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who showed what an ideal bhakta does. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went in Puri with Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar into the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. And he roamed around these gardens. There were trees and creepers. Mahaprabhu moved between the trees, between the creepers. And then he asked Swarup Damodar to sing a song which fitted the occasion. Swarup Damodar sang the song, "Labanga Lalita." It's a song where from Gita Govinda, where one of Radha's gopi sakis is telling Radha, "Oh Radha, when the spring breeze comes, then it becomes the guru of all the creepers." These are the small, long plants which grow by taking support of the trees. It becomes the dancing guru of all these creepers because they dance in the wind. And there is a, in the spring, there is a very cooling breeze from the Malaya Hills. This is where the sandalwood grow, and sandalwood is known to be cooling. Krishna at this time is enjoying the spring season because his name is also Madhava. Just like Madhava is the name of the spring season, Krishna's name is also Madhava. He's enjoying with other sakis. And then the sakhi says, "The spring is a blessing for those who are brought together when the beloved meets the lover. Then it's a blessing. It's the best time to meet when these beautiful breezes are there, when the flowers blossom, when the bumblebees make their sound. But the breeze, but the springtime is also a curse for those lovers who do not meet their beloved." And Srimati Radharani is in that category. She is alone in Vrindavan's forest, longing for Krishna. There's this beautiful, cool breezes coming from the Yamuna. The wonderful sounds of the cuckoos, cuckoo, cuckoo. The soft sound of these beautiful bumblebees who bumble around, fly around her. And she misses Krishna. She remembers how she spent her time with Krishna, how Krishna smiled at her, how Krishna spoke words to her that comforted and solaced her. Oh, Radha, he used to say, you are my one and all. You and me are one person in two bodies. So Radharani remembers all this. And she is very much longing for Krishna. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this song, and since he is experiencing or exploring this mood and separation of Srimati Radharani, he becomes as if mad, and he runs into the forest of this Jagannath Vallabha garden, and he comes close to an Ashok tree. It is said about Ashok trees, when a lady, a beautiful lady, touches the root of the tree, it bursts in full blossom. I think you all appreciate this nice color background. You know, this is a God, Krishna has chosen this amazing light for yesterday and today. So the Ashok tree has also flowers who have this type of lila, pinkish, whitish nature, and they these trees burst into these type of flowers the moment a beautiful lady lover strikes the tree with the foot, you know, when it comes to the foot. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radha, longing for Krishna. And he comes to the same tree, but this time the tree doesn't blossom up. Krishna reveals himself for a short moment. In a brief moment, he smiles at Krishna, at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He looks with his lotus eyes, which are elongated, very long, and go very wide open. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu runs to catch Krishna, but it is not possible for him to reach him because Krishna evades him. He disappears again. But what remains is the beautiful fragrance of Lord Krishna. Krishna has a natural fragrance. It is like a blue lotus flower, a very subtle fragrance, with a little camphor smell. But he also uses a perfume, or unguents they are called. It is a sandalwood which is mixed with yellowish kumkum. It is mixed with aloe, that's the aguru, and yes, musk. So all this creates a festival of fragrances. Even one little atomic scent of this is able to defeat all the good fragrances of the world. What smells nice in this world? Maybe doTERRA oils smell nice, or what else? So roses for sure. What else smells nice? The champak flower smells extremely nice. But all the nice smells in this world, which are assembled in the beautiful parfums from Paris, are defeated by only an atomic, small fragment of the smell coming from Radha and Krishna's transcendental body. So when Lord Chaitanya, when Krishna disappears, then the smell remains still in the air. Rupa Goswami has written in another poem in Utkalika Valari, he has said, "My dear Radha and Krishna, I understand if you do not want to show yourself to me because I'm so incompetent in my devotion, but kindly let me hear a little bit of the sound of your flute, Krishna, and the dancing steps of Radha, who is decorated with ankle bells around her feet." That the prayer is there in Utkalika Valari. And then he says, if you do not wish to show to let me hear your the sound which emanates from you, then at least let me get a small fragrance of your smell. This is an experience which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had. He was overwhelmed, and he described his nose to be like a bee. He said, "May the bee of my nose smell your beautiful fragrance." And so does Rupa Goswami. He says, "May the bee of my nose follow the line, the path through which this fragrance of you come to me. Then I will reach you." So you can see these divine aspirations are awakened by mercy of Vrindadevi. One of the prayers which we pray to Vrindadevi is, we can just pray the whole prayer. You know, O Tulasi, beloved of Krishna, I bow before you again and again. My desire is to obtain the service of Radha and Krishna. Yetomara Sharanaloi Taravanchapunahoi. We can all sing together in one voice. Kripa Kori Korotare Vrindavanavasi. Whoever takes shelter of you, Vrindadevi, has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy on him, you make him a resident of Vrindavan. And then he sings, Morai Avilas Bilas Kunyadi. That you will always also grant me a residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thus, within my vision, Nayane, within my eyes, I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he continues, Enive Danadara Saki. Oh, the cowherd damsels, the gopis of Braj. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your own maidservant. And then the last line, please join me. Dina Krishna Das Koi very fallen and lowly servant of Krishna prays, may I always swim in the love of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. So Rupa Goswami remembers, I wish to be close to Krishna. But I cannot do it on my own. I need the help of Brinda Devi. So again, as we hear about this, as we then sing maybe to Brinda Devi and associate our minds with the pure desires of Rupa Goswami, then our desires, which are naturally there, will come out. Do you know etiology? You dig, and you, by some indications, you feel, oh, here might be a treasure. Then you remove the layers of earth, then you remove the finer layers of earth, and finally, yes, there it is. The treasure box of Tuch and Amon. So in the same way, by hearing these prayers, by connecting with Brinda Devi, we do spiritual archaeology, remove the layers, and begin to come in contact with our real desires. And do you know a secret? When you are in contact with the desires of the soul, you are already there. Because longing for Krishna is the same as meeting Krishna. Longing for Krishna sincerely, having this eagerness in the heart sincerely, is identical with meeting Krishna. It's not like a material subject. This we talk about the soul level, no, the spiritual level. When we in the material world want something, oh, and we don't have it, we feel melancholy, we feel frustration. But in spiritual life, if we long for something, it is already there. In the heart, it is already there. Longing means maybe Krishna is not yet before the eyes, but he is there in the heart. This is how beautiful it is to come in contact with the spiritual desires which are described in the, what is it, Chandogya Upanishad. Satya Kama means true desires. The desire is already fulfilled. It's not, when you desire, the object is already in the heart. And remember, this is a spiritual science, what is there. Where your mind is, where your heart is, there is where you are. This is the beauty of these verses from Utkalika Valari. Today we dealt with the prayer to Brinda Devi, who is addressed as Devi here, a personality who can make, who can fulfill, who can give boons or blessings, and who can make the soul shine. Means he can, she can give enlightenment or insights into the true nature of our real self. I was talking also about other contents, or what is it called? Subjects of Utkali Kavalari, that is the divine fragrance of the Lord. This I want to give an analogy, really. When a bee in a forest smells a distant fragrance that is carried by the breeze, it will immediately enter the stream of the breeze. It will follow the fragrance. So when you want to develop your spiritual desires, you have to also see, where do you catch something? Where do you have some connection with spiritual reality? It may be just a small trace, a small atomic trace, but then you should follow that. Like a bee who follows the path or the line of the fragrance and gets to the honey or the lotus flower or whatever fragrance it follows. You know, developing spiritual desires, it means to catch something that is real for you, that is some true attachment, something, like you may like to look at a picture of Krishna. You may like darshan. You may like to hear some bhajans. Follow that little thing that is real within you, where you don't pretend or you don't do anything mechanic. No? And then, as you follow it, very much like the bee follows the fragrance, you will get that. That's why Rupa Goswami and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they pray for the scent or the fragrance, something of you, Krishna, and then they will follow this, pursue it, and meet Radha and Krishna in the forests of Vrindavan. Good, this was a little bit on the second subject, following, developing true desires. I get here something, a little news I got. I want to greet lovingly and affectionately our Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. I heard your voice message to me, and I immediately prayed for your well-being. I hope it has something has worked. and yes, it's so nice to be in this online sangha. I can have a little scent of all, scent is not the word, a little trace of all of you when I see your names. And I'm very much honored that you see this. Tomorrow we will enter into another subject which comes out so nicely in Utkali Kavalari, that is the desire for service. Now, there are different types of services and different ways you can do service, and I will also talk about this from Jiva Goswami. It will be a little philosophical in the beginning, but nothing difficult. Yes, and we will continue like this. Obviously, when we talk about developing spiritual desires, we have to know that they are there. We need to remove what is covering them. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about this in his first verse of the Shikshastakam. Chetudapanamajanam, no? Removing the dust from the mirror of the heart. And the dust is other desires, anya kama, other desires to enjoy, and also desires to control, no? That to manage, manipulate your life. So by chanting, he says, this is removed from the mirror of the heart, and then the natural shining comes forth. But today I wanted to talk about praying to Vrinda Devi. There was a time in the human existence where people lived with devatas, with divine beings. They worshipped them, they propitioned them, they got special shaktis from them, they got gifts from them. This time is referred to in the academic circle as the mythic age of the human being. He is in myths, in the magical age. Today, the human being has another magic. A magic that has totally grabbed him and pulled him in its influence. It's called technology. They have given up this old way of doing something beyond your capabilities, and they have developed the new one, and you will see it will go into a direction which is ruled by artificial intelligence, because human beings feel we make so many mistakes, but the algorithms are not making these mistakes. Look in the miseries of partnerships, of relationships. People fall in love with each other without knowing the qualities of the other person. They find out much later, and then they find out this is not compatible. But soon there will be an app on your mobile telephone. It can communicate with the app of another person, and they can compare the informations, and then you only will enter very compatible relationships, and you will not suffer from divorce or frustrations. You will have the ideal partner. This is coming up. You will see. You will see. You will see. Hare Krishna. Good. I want to now end this presentation. Sorry for going into my criticizing my or talking about technology. You know, I have a problematic relationship with this. So let me see if there are any questions which are there in the amongst you, and then I will see if we can answer them.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Gomash, for this wonderful presentation today.
It will become better and better. I'm just slowly going.
And we don't know where we will arrive, because yeah. It was already this evening so beautiful. I have a question from Bhakti Sangha, but Bhakti Sangha said he's not so comfortable to be directly spotlighted with video, so he asked me to read the question, so here it comes. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the nice lecture. Some shlokas give suggestion to not only think of Krishna while chanting, but also Vrindavan, Govardhan, Yamuna, Krishna's associates, etc. Some say this should come spontaneously, but in the song Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Narottam Das Thakur describes such meditation as vratas or tapas, namely, there is an endeavor. What do you think, Maharaj?
Yeah. Above all, be true to yourself. What I want to say is practice according to your qualification where you are at the present moment. But what you should do to enter these beautiful things, like being with your mind in Vrindavan while you chant. This is Prabhupada used to, he was asked sometimes, are you here, Swamiji, with us? He said, no, I'm always in Vrindavan. Yes, there are many devotees who chant in their minds. They sit down at Govardhan and chant. Many devotees who there is even a process of chanting whereby which you chant and read some scriptures like the verses in the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas, which are coming at the end of Brihad Bhagavatamrita and so on. And sometimes devotees in our movement ask, how should we relate to these things? These are Vaishnava practices. It was in the beginning of his preaching in 1966 where Prabhupada, in my mind, gave a very, very nice instruction. He says, if in this life we practice devotion to God, then in the next life you become the associate of God. We are transferred to his planet, you see? But it all starts with hearing. Unless you hear, you cannot go there. And then he gave an example about his friend Mr. Cohen, who has left for California. And Prabhupada had said, please write me from California, how it is there. And he said, I have no idea of California. So he is writing me a description of that place. Now, suppose when I read the description of this place, I think of going there. So I prepare myself. Oh, I must go there. So just like that, I'm describing to you now the Chintamani Dham. I'm describing to you Vrindavan Dham and what is going on there. What sort of trees are there? And you are hearing it and you're becoming pleased. Oh yes, I must go there. So we have to hear. Unless we hear what sort of God Krishna is, what sort of God's place he has, what is the mode of life there, we cannot be attracted. We cannot be attracted. So Bhakti Sangha and everyone who is interested in this subject, we start by hearing. This is the whole idea of this seminar also. It's about developing spiritual aspirations. We hear about these things and it will become more and more wonderful. You will see Rupa Goswami is going very high. As we hear about this, some of us, according to our where we are in our spiritual evolution in Krishna consciousness, will feel some attraction. And then the attraction will guide you further. No, it is called, at the moment, we are ajata ruchi. Our taste or attraction is not yet born because our souls are so covered, with such thick layers. But by hearing about the subject matter, our attraction is born, so that after some time, we become what is called jata ruchi bhaktas. Bhaktas, devotees in whom a taste has been born. 10 years later, Prabhupada surprised us again. This time he was very strong about the need to hear about it. It was during an installation of a deity in the town of Lautoka, that's in the Fiji Islands. He said, it is compulsory. Compulsory means it's a must. You cannot avoid Krishna Katha. If you are avoiding Krishna Katha, you're putting yourself into the dangerous cycle of birth and death. It is not fiction. It is not whim. It is compulsory, imperative. Imperative, yes. Everyone should become Krishna consciousness. Everyone should become Krishna conscious. If he does not, then he is risking his life. Wow, so strong. When I heard this, I thought, it's okay to hear about Krishna. It's compulsory. It's imperative. And you will see as you do this, because Krishna's katha has so much potency, it can awaken your true desires. And you will think, oh yeah. Yes, this is a reality. It is not a fiction. It is not a whim. Yes, let me think about these things. And as you become attracted, you feel a natural compulsion. And you always should see, maybe by talking with your Guru Maharaj or so on, you should see that it remains real, not some concept. I will tell you personally, I'm so tired of concepts, so tired, because concepts are just mental constructions. They are important maybe to show us a direction in which we look, but it becomes dangerous when people who have different concepts about spiritual life start to argue about things they have no idea what they're talking about. They have just concepts about it. The mind is not a tool to reach the spiritual world. It can show us a direction, but purifying our heart, awakening our true desires, that will give us a real access. Then we can go to that place which Prabhupada talks about. Thank you. A very good question. A question which we are dealing with often in our Govardhan retreats. We have these Bhujan Prabhus there. I remember Giriraj Maharaj, Jagatarini, Madhavananda, Adi Purusha, so many very learned Vaishnavas are there, and we are making it a point to responsibly try to share the beauty of the Bhagavatam when it speaks about Krishna. Good. Any other question? Gaura Hari, we turn to you. I must say, I do not hear you at the moment.
Can you hear me?
Now we hear you very nicely.
Okay, so we have one question from Harishyam.
Harishyam, Haribo Harishyam. You are in America, no? He's in America, Harishyam. Yes.
I think.
Yes.
So the question is, thank you, Guru Maharaj, for this presentation on cultivating spiritual desires. My question is, how do we know the difference between our actual deep-rooted spiritual desires versus a passing attraction?
I would like to give you a very simple indication of it. It's a very simple explanation, but very profound. Passing desires are today here, tomorrow gone. Or maybe after a month they are gone. Spiritual desires will come again and again and again. Sometimes they come in disguise. As I said earlier, when we neglect our spiritual life a little bit and we become torn away by this current of our modern life, you know, where there's always so much emphasis on being active and attaining big results, so that we can have some self-validation. When we, you know, many people have totally surrendered to this stream of just always producing. I'm only valuable if I earn, if I get likes on Facebook, if I produce, if I pass exams, like this. I'm not worth on my own. I have to create results. But these things often become our prisons. The mind acts as the jailer who throws us into the prison and as the jailed at the same time. Spiritual desires are sometimes quite covered, you know. But as I said in the beginning, if you ignore the soul doesn't go away. It doesn't just stop being there. It's the source of your life. If you ignore also your spiritual desires, they don't go away, but they come in a disguised form. And I have become very careful in my own life when I become dissatisfied. Oh, nothing is right, nothing is good, I'm restless, I'm... Then I know it's time to address this point. So at the root of my being, I'm dissatisfied. And the moment I am able to face this dissatisfaction, don't run away from it and don't try to distract myself from it again. Then I can go deeper. In the Gospels they say, first recognize what is there before your eyes. Then later the hidden things will be revealed to you. Or as Prabhupada would say, first become conscious, then you will become Krishna conscious. So become conscious about what is going on, and you will then see, if you're willing to take also spiritual counsel, what could be behind this crying soul. What I have seen in my life Harisyam and in the life of so many other devotees with whom I talk about these subject matters, is that when there is a spiritual desire, it will again and again come back. Again and again, for instance, there will be the desire, I want to read more in the Bhagavatam, and then you don't do it. Then this voice becomes silent, okay. Then after some time, oh, I really want to study the Bhagavatam. I would love to understand this tremendous magnus opi, this great work of spirituality and the mind of Shukadev Goswami. And then you do it, and then you may do it a little bit more, but then again you drop it. But it will come again and again until finally Harisyam becomes a regular Bhagavatam reader, a relisher. That's how spiritual desires are. They come back. I would like to give you a beautiful analogy, which I like very, very, very much. It comes from, I've told you so much from the Gaudiya philosophy. I will now go and put light on this subject from another angle. In the Old Testament, we find God is talking to, I think his name is Jonas, that I want you to go to this town and tell about my glories. And Jonas doesn't want it. The town is known to be very sensualistic. It's like a Babylon. And he ignores the voice of God. It comes again. I want you to come. No, I'm not going. So Jonas goes the opposite direction. Again the voice comes. Then Jonas says, I take a boat. I leave. He was in northern Africa at that time. Northern Africa, and he goes in the direction of Sicily. I think I remember it like this, but I'm not so super fit in these Christian stories, but so he goes there, and then there's a raging tempest on the ocean. The waves are going crazy, the wind blows crazy. And the captain says, everyone get ready to die. We can't survive this storm. Then Jonah said, I'm the reason of the storm. He doesn't let me be in peace. He wants me to go to this town. So you just throw me overboard, and then you will see the storm will calm. Captain said, I've never heard about such a method to calm the storm. You know, you do, you will see. So they throw Jonas over the board, and the moment he hits the water, it becomes peaceful. The Lord had a plan for Jonas. He sent a big whale. The whale swallowed Jonas and brought him to the beach, and somehow Jonas could walk out of the mouth of the whale. And the first person he asked on the beach is, he said, I want to know, where am I? Where is this? And the person said, oh, this is such and such town. And Jonas goes, oh no, that's the town where the Lord wanted me to speak about his glories. And he knows, yes, this is... something real. So in the same way with your desires, spiritual desires, they will show up again and again. They will not let you in peace. If you're not doing something really, really, really foolish, that you cover yourself with a lot of sinful activities and aparadhas and all these things, which I know you don't do, so let us not talk about it. And then, Harisyam, when you will do what you were called to do, at that time, your life will move forward like anything. So watch your spiritual desires. Watch also the disguised desires, you know, the surface desires, which are fueled and powered by the soul. Without the presence of the soul, nothing would work. And then you will see, as you watch, yes, you will come to some good understanding. Let me now watch the watch. Yes, it is 7:30. I think obviously we could go on and on and on, but I don't think it's a good idea, because all of us have made plans. Plus, there is the beautiful darshan of our Radha Madan Mohan coming up. Is that true, Guru Hari? Are we ready?
Yes, we are ready for the darshan.
Good. So I will stop here and give over to you, Guru Hari, and then, but I will stay to be there for the darshan.